Vacations are always good. Sometimes they're even great. And Celebrity Cruises is about to ruin all of that. Because once you explore with us, you'll never want a vacation any other way. And with new quick Caribbean escapes, you'll never want a weekend any other way either. Celebrity Cruises. Nothing comes close. Visit celebrity.com, call 1-800-CELEBRITY, or contact your travel advisor. Ships Registry, Malta and Ecuador.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one goth. You know what? It is officially summer.
It is, because we are in my apartment in Hollywood and we are sweating balls.
Yes. Little do you know that when you're listening to your favorite podcasters, right around now until another 3 months, they will be sweating up a storm because we have to turn off our air conditioners for the sound.
Yeah.
Even in the most luxury of luxury apartments,
yes.
It has to go off.
Yes.
And you know, Hollywood, most of the buildings here were built in the 1930s. That means no insulation.
Nope.
Means no central air.
Mm-hmm.
And you get some good crown molding and some high ceilings, but
sure.
That's about it.
Yeah, there's some beautiful architecture going on, but not much of a nice, cool temperature for the bod.
Certainly not. So here we are.
We might be complaining about it for the next couple months, but you know.
It is a sacrifice we make for all of you.
Anybody work at like a WeWork that wants to
host us?
Or like any sort of an office chair that we could have a recording studio at? Just throwing that out there. Billy, do we want to go into our day?
Yes, we do.
You had a lot of issues trying to find a decent day to talk about.
I did, but then I went back because you reminded me of something as you were looking, and I went back to an old standard. July 1st, 1863 was the first day of the Battle of Gettysburg. Mm. Now, the Battle of Gettysburg actually lasted 3 days. The first day was on the Battle of Seminary Hill, and that was kind of like on the outskirts of town. Then they went through into the city, and that was day two was the big day. That was the Battle of Little Round Top when there was a bayonet charge. These guys charged down the mountain because they were out of ammunition, very heroic, etc. And then day three was Pickett's Charge, which was otherwise known as the high watermark of the Confederacy. That's considered the time that the Confederates got as north as they could before they were driven back.
Ooh.
That is what happened. By the way, 46,000 casualties between 46,000 and 51,000 casualties, nearly one-third of all total troops that engaged were injured or died.
Damn. Wow. Well, that is a dark day if we've ever had one.
Quite a dark day.
Yeah, but the Union won, though, so. And the Union was not doing good at the time. So this was also considered kind of like the little bit of a turning point. But they probably could have ended the war, but Meade just sat there and didn't actually attack the Confederates. And then the war went on for another two freaking years.
This feels like an excuse for you to talk about history.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, we're losing the true crime. We're going into deep
Civil War history.
By the way, have you guys seen
history?
My hat? Is my hat anywhere? Have you seen my hat?
No.
Your paperboy hat?
They've all been burned.
Which, by the way, we're going to go into On the Stand on a second, but so many people were asking you to put your hat on the stand.
Yeah, well,
so.
You know what? I think that's going to be that's more of a tentpole event.
Yes.
I'm going to have...
Literally, the Catholic supply store killer was wearing one, Billy. You need to just know when you've called. Throw in
no.
the hat, man.
No.
Throw in the hat.
Right down the drain.
I too think, I mean, maybe you save it up for our first live show. That is the moment yes. that we're really debating the hat, and we can have audience participation.
I think everybody in the audience.
And you symbolically throw it into the fire, which is actually the audience.
Yes.
And then somebody gets to wear the trophy of Billy's head home and then never to be seen again. It's like almost, it's next best to scalping Billy and mm-hmm. taking his hair home.
I wonder what, like, depending on the firstie that catches the hat, they'll either burn it or worship it.
I think they become the queen of the podcast or king.
Yes.
Like, I think whoever gets the hat, we answer to them.
No, they answer to them.
They're our boss now.
It's like catching the bouquet. They have to start a podcast then. Okay. And they have to do it every week for the next 5 years.
Oh my God. Maybe that's how we decide our first podcast on the First Degree Network.
On the First Degree Network,
yes. Not a bad idea. It
doesn't even have to be true crime. It's whatever they
choose. Whatever they're into. If they're into knitting, go for it.
So honestly, though, this is a legally binding contract. Mm-hmm. You don't catch that dirty hat unless you want a weekly podcast.
Nobody ever called it dirty.
No, not dirty like there's Billy, filth on it. Like dirty the connotation.
But okay. Also, Billy, I see like you walked in today with a very sweaty head. I can only imagine how dirty it would be if the hat was also on it.
All right, but I will
sopping
say this.
That wool hat, sopping up all your salty sweat.
It probably has like the salt stains all over it and shit.
And I know Billy wears that hat when he's hungover and doesn't wash his hair. So that is a grease stained Jensen hat.
Sick. There's so much DNA just seeping into that
you
wool.
Plant it at a crime scene when you throw it at you, but just go put it like be like a siren chaser and go throw it at the scene of a crime.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, all good ideas, guys.
I'm glad that we're fleshing this out like in real time because now it has to happen. It's
feels
on the
great.
Record.
Feels great.
Okay. Well, next up, we've got some bitching to do.
So much bitching.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Okay, so welcome to On the Stand. This is a segment of our podcast where we each bring something that might be a little bit controversial to the stand. We're either defending it or prosecuting it. And then at the end, the other two vote and we decide if it's a yes or a no, basically.
Sure.
So for On the Stand this week, and this has been a long time coming, I wanted to crowdsource from all of our firsties. I wanted to see what you wanted to see on the stand because I know everybody has something. And
that's
not
right.
Everybody has a podcast where they can bitch about something for 15 minutes.
Also right.
So we're going to take our favorites of your recommendations and we're going to put them on the stand.
The most universally resonated with.
Yes.
You know?
That we feel and they just like pull at the heartstrings.
Right.
You know?
Well, they're the basic bitch on the stands, if you will. They're the things that everybody wants to know about everybody before they get too involved. Whether it's a new friend or whether you're deciding whether or not to alienate a family member. These are things you need to know about them.
Exactly. Who wants to go first? Billy, let's...
I will go first.
Go first.
All right. So now this is coming from Sydney Brown.
Okay.
And it is the age-old question, are hot dogs a sandwich?
Oh.
Now,
okay.
We're going to do a little bit of a history lesson here.
Okay.
And it is because it's important. Now, the sort of... Frankfurters have been around since the 13th century, okay, from Germany.
Frankfurter?
Yeah, Frankfurter.
Okay.
Yes. Now, there was a German immigrant, and I'm reading this from Wikipedia, German immigrant named Feschwanger, and he is the one that actually decided to use a bun. And of course, like all good ideas, it was the lady in his life.
Of course.
This is the reason why. In 1880, and it was in St. Louis, Missouri, which we were just in.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what this guy did. And this is an amazing story.
Mm-hmm.
He provided gloves to his customers so they could handle the sausages without burning their hands.
Okay.
He was losing money because the customers weren't returning the gloves. He was just like, here's the sausage. Here's the gloves. And then people would put on the gloves, eat the sausage, and then leave.
With the gloves.
And then he's like, can I have my gloves back? And he's like, they're like, they're gone, you know?
Post-COVID, I want to die listening to this, but go on.
So.
I don't know what kind of gloves they are. Are they like gardening gloves?
I don't know.
So he was losing money and his wife suggested, you know what? How about a roll?
Oh.
How about put him in a roll?
Okay.
And he went, yeah. That's pretty interesting. Now, there is some debate about this, as you know. The National Hot Dog and Sausage Council said, no, it's not a sandwich.
Not a sandwich. But what is a sandwich definition?
Wait.
Okay. Okay.
Jacqueline, wait. Okay. Joey Chestnut, who's the hot dog champion.
Mm-hmm. Joey Chestnut?
Yes.
It seems like a fake name.
Now, Chestnut and another guy, a champion named Kobayashi, they both agree. They say, no.
Not a sandwich.
Not a sandwich. But the dictionary, Webster's Dictionary, says it is a sandwich. So who in history are you going to go to fix this? Who is the most trusted judge that you would go to?
Guy Fieri.
No.
I'm going to go with my own instincts, which is what the sandwich ritual entails. A sandwich ritual is craving a fucking sandwich and going to a deli or a sandwich shop and ordering a sandwich. There's no options with a hot dog. There's no... A hot dog ritual is like a ball game, a New York City street. Mm. A sandwich ritual differs from a hot dog ritual, and I think they are different. And the bread shape is different. We're talking a sliced meat or like a meat salad, like a tuna or a chicken or an egg. A hot dog is in a league of its own. We don't put sausages on sandwiches.
See, I was looking when, who posted this?
This was Sydney, I believe. Okay, Sydney Brown.
Sydney posted this. There was a, of course, because his hot dog a sandwich, it really sparks any debate. And there was a screenshot of this infograph type of a thing. And it was like the cube sandwich something. And it was describing basically how many parts of a cube are covered in bread and what that entails. Mm. So a sandwich is the top and the bottom of a cube. A taco is two sides and the bottom. A calzone is all the whole cube
coating.
Is covered.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So is the question is a hot dog a taco?
No, it's like a sling. It's like your hot dog is a broken arm.
Okay.
And it's in a nice, comfortable sling.
All right. When I was asking you about the judge, I will say that Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg actually weighed in on that.
Wow. Okay. What'd she say?
And she stated that a hot dog might be categorized to be a sandwich, but ultimately it comes down to the definition of a sandwich. She went on to acknowledge that a hot dog bun is a single roll that is not sliced all the way through.
Not in two pieces.
And in that way is similar to a submarine sandwich.
So it's a
similar
sandwich.
To a taco, if you ask me.
But mm-hmm. could that now be considered an open-faced sandwich? That is, just has curled edges.
Which, by the way, I don't agree that an open-faced sandwich is a sandwich, because that's something that you actually eat with a fork.
No, it's like a torta.
Well, that would be, you don't say avocado toast is a sandwich.
Yeah.
So avocado toast is just toast with some shit on it.
Yeah. Open-faced sandwich is more like a pizza.
It's
frankly.
Yeah. So... I'm going to go ahead.
See, I don't even, after all this, I really don't know how I feel.
Just your personal preference. The sandwich ritual, I was really speaking to you.
Yes. No, I would not classify that in the same, you're right. Like,
category.
When do I get a hot dog? Literally only at a baseball game.
Yes.
Or like New York City street drunk. Or,
at a beer garden, a nice bratwurst sort of a situation.
But a sandwich is a curated, like it's like a specific craving midday.
Because Alexis, for a sandwich, she thinks she's a conductor. And she's just like, I'm going to use this element and this element.
Yes.
And they're all going to come together into this one masterpiece.
Yes.
Now, a hot dog, some people can do it like that with a bunch of stuff. But I will say,
you're limited.
Not a sandwich. That's my final rule.
I'm going to go...
Wait, so we're saying hot dogs, guilty.
Yes.
Of not being a sandwich.
Of not being a sandwich.
I'm going to say guilty. I want a delicious roast turkey with a... There's a siren.
It's
this
fine.
Is Hollywood, friends.
Us.
I think a sandwich is in a league of its own.
Mm.
It's not a meat sleeve like a hot dog is.
Listen, I'm all for hot dogs.
A meat sleeve in a sling.
I actually once...
A baby arm in a sling is like a hot dog.
Ew, that's sickening.
Well,
I'm already grossed out by hot dogs to begin with. Yeah. I really power through eating them for the most part, but...
Well, usually you've had three beers.
And you love sandwiches. Yeah. That's how you know they're not the same.
Yes.
Jacqueline loves sandwiches.
But also, I'm not a big pork eater. So that's how... That's
mm-hmm. beef hot dogs, too.
Yeah, and there's
they
also...
Do.
I like a veggie dog.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't like any of them. Honestly, meat sleeve, tubes. Mm. It's like a tube steak.
Tube steak.
I once was walking past Fenway Park in Boston, and I actually bought tickets from a scalper for $5 so I can go inside and get a hot dog, and then I watched two innings, and then I left.
But you got the experience, right?
I did.
But... The hot dog was part of the experience.
And that was all for telling this story.
Not
right now,
a sandwich
30
experience.
Years later. But it was not a sandwich experience.
No.
Okay. All right. So we're all saying guilty.
Guilty, guilty, guilty.
Gavel.
Jacqueline, what do you got?
Okay, so my on the stand subject came from Allison McLean. And this is something that I feel like I've talked about even on this podcast, but way back in the day. And that is wearing socks to bed. Now, I don't know why this is so controversial. It's controversial to me, and I don't even know why I feel this way, but I get skeeved out by anybody that wears socks to bed. Sure. I feel like it's a very weird move. My mother does it, but she also wears two pairs of sweatpants and two sweatshirts because she is always cold, and I don't understand that. But it's more the aspect of wearing socks to bed when you're not cold.
Sure.
Like you're wearing maybe like a, like your briefs, if you're a man, like a brief and a sock and no shirt. Or I don't know, like push it even further, like having sex with somebody and they're just wearing socks. Like that's how I kind of correlate and tie all of those things together.
Yes. Sure.
And it all just makes me feel very uneasy.
All right. When it comes to socks, I will say this, because when you keep socks on, especially throughout the day, there are going to be a little bit of dirt between your toes. Mm. Sleeping with
what?
That and
you
feeling...
don't bathe before bed?
And then put socks on?
No, just in general.
No, wait, this is an interesting point.
Yes.
Because, I mean, all of the shit that I have gotten from not scrubbing down my legs every time I go into the shower, I bet some people that sleep with socks on haven't even washed their bodies.
No.
What?
No. They have gotten home from work or whatever. They keep their socks on and then they keep...
That is sickening. That... A level of sick I haven't even thought about.
Wow. I didn't even know people did that, frankly, because I have to bathe before bed or I can't fall asleep. It's the only way my muscles relax enough. So there's no way. There's no way.
But would you ever, have you ever slept with socks on?
I can barely sleep in this flesh prison as it is without drapings on it. No, I don't wear clothes to bed because I'm already fucking drowning in my own body.
Yes.
Of fear and pain.
All right. So I think we can call this one.
Wait, I have my one of the most fucked up strange quotes, and I have talked about this on the podcast in the very beginning. I don't know why socks came up in the beginning of our podcast at some point. But this is why. Maybe why I correlate wearing socks to bed with serial killers, because Ted Bundy had a sock obsession. Like he had like a fetish for socks. And I have a quote I would like to read. This is so Bundy. He says, this is a little bit long, but stay with me. He says, one of my fondest dreams is to have all the underwear and socks I could ever conceivably use. It's one of my fantasies to be able to wear new socks every day. And I must admit, I have had 3 or 4 dozen socks all purchased on stolen credit cards. Even in Pensacola, I went to a shopping mall and bought some socks. I was buying socks everywhere. I've got a sock fetish, no question about it. I must have 6 or 7 pairs right here with me in my cell. I'm very close to my feet. That's fucking gross. Right now, I'm lying on my back with my foot propped up on the bars, and I'm studying my toes. For a good portion of the night, they're probably the most attractive feet you'll ever see. Socks are such a serious part of my life. They're so very important to me. They kept reading the list of socks all in court, and I felt proud. Honestly, it didn't even begin to occur to me that people might wonder why I had all these socks. I just felt proud that I owned all those socks. Like a man who stands at the back of his ranch house and looks out over the range and sees all the cattle.
I feel like socks are a euphemism for something else. Like
is he writing that to a female fan?
I don't know what this quote is from. Oh, it's in Hugh Ainsworth's book, Ted Bundy, Confessions with a Killer, Bundy himself said.
First of all, the fact that he said like the Pensacola thing, that was when he had escaped
prison
yeah. And had gone to Florida, and he's going and stealing socks and buying socks with
also,
a
once you're
card,
in prison, but... things get very small. Like socks,
no, but this was a is... no. This is a he was a free man obsessed with socks. This wasn't like I'm in prison. I have nothing else to do. I'm going to start obsessing over socks. Like when he was out and about, he was stealing socks all over the place, and didn't seem like a trophy thing. He wasn't stealing them from his victims. He was stealing them from the mall. Brand new socks.
You know, though, this guy also is obsessed with like bashing people's heads and stuff.
Yeah,
you know, so like. Anyone listening, if you're like, Bundy's sock obsession is my sock obsession, you should look inward and be like, what else am I obsessed with? And just check yourself and make sure everything's okay.
Yes.
You know, because Bundy didn't have it all right and figured out.
No, he didn't. So when you're going to the mall and trying to steal some socks from Contempo Casual or something, just...
Unless it's a thrill. Unless you've been working at your 9-to-5 with no recognition.
But see, this was obviously so enough of a thrill for him that he is mentioning it. That, like, the thrill of stealing a sock.
Well, since they took murder away, that's what he had to have.
I guess so.
That's all he's got left to, like, fawn over.
The socks. Okay, the last part of this quote. It says, the only time I began to have a little bout of sheepishness... Sheepishness was when I read about a white sock with a blue bar and a green stripe on the toe. Those are odor eaters. And
sounds
that
like Gucci
was getting too personal.
Sounds like that Gucci, those Gucci stripes.
Bundy. Well, that's green and red. But yeah, oh, right. I mean, it's sorry. So anytime I think about somebody sleeping with socks on, I immediately think about this excerpt from this terrifying book.
Right. Well, I think we all know that sleeping with socks on isn't good.
It's guilty.
Sorry, May Vanek. Guilty. Love you, May.
Alexis?
Okay, so on the stand for me today comes from one of our faves, Rachel Holmes. Thank you, Rachel, for this. Because she is imploring us to bring up one of the tried and true controversial subjects of our generation. Pineapple on pizza.
Ooh.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to just go with this. It's one of my favorite types of pizza. And I know I'm going to get crucified for this. But in our early days of recording the First Degree, mm-hmm. I would order this almost all the time from Lucifer's up the street. We would get a gluten-free crust. We would get a pineapple pizza with shaved coconut shavings and pineapple and I think some Canadian bacon or whatever, mm-hmm. which we would pick off. We never really liked that. We just like the coconut. We like the slightly sweet against the cheesiness.
Yes.
We're not big pork eaters, but here we are. I happen to know some history about it. I know that pineapple on pizza came from Canada.
Mm.
And it was because I think a Greek diner owner started it.
Oh, interesting.
Because
you
know how they have those like Mod Podge food menus where they have shit from all over
everything.
The world.
Yes.
Right. And I vaguely remember that. Don't quote me on this. I think. But I love it. I mean, who doesn't like a savory sweet? We talk all the time.
Lots of people.
You hear that people love like dipping French fries in McDonald's shakes and, mm-hmm. and having like salted caramel. There's something to it. And pineapple, I just think... Every time I eat a piece of pineapple, I look at whoever I'm with and say, can you believe this comes from the earth? Like, it tastes so good.
Pineapple is delicious.
And with cheese and bread and a shaved toasted coconut shaving, like, what is not to like?
When have there been coconut shavings on this
pizza? Always.
No.
I don't remember.
Always.
You know what?
I've never had a pineapple.
We have ingested a lot of that pizza here, and you are sneaking coconut.
We've literally never not had a coconut shaving on that pizza. I'm just thinking. It's very finely shredded.
I think a pineapple pizza in general does not have a coconut shaving on
it. This
one does. That brings it to a whole new level of controversial.
Depravity.
So when you were describing it, and I was thinking about the actual elements of a pineapple pizza, it is kind of bizarre.
Yes.
Because when would you ever pair pineapple with cheese in any other setting?
People on TikTok are putting mustard on watermelon.
That is true.
I mean...
There are combinations we don't know that are delightful yet. And I feel like pineapple and pizza... Listen, I love pineapple and pizza. And I'm going to push it a step further, grammatically correct, and say that I prefer pineapple and mushroom pizza.
I hate mushrooms.
Pineapple mushroom pizza is delicious. It's a bizarre combo, but don't knock it until you try it.
Well, I hate mushrooms in general, so I will not agree with you, but I bet you a person who likes mushrooms would. But what about also pineapple and green pepper?
On a pizza?
People seem to like that, yeah.
That does nothing for me.
Green peppers, onions, and sausage. That's the Italian in me coming out.
You're not putting a hot dog on this pizza. No, this is not a crossover episode.
Right. It's so funny that you say, like, people are putting mustard on, you know, on TikTok.
On TikTok.
People, it's like,
I didn't do it.
People are putting toothpaste on guacamole in TikTok.
I mean, no, people can put anything on anything. It's TikTok.
No, but people apparently like this mustard watermelon thing. Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a pregnancy craving.
I actually love mustard, so I'm a big mustard fan.
Do you like pineapple on pizza? I can't remember if we forced you to eat this or
not. No.
He eats it.
He eats it.
Mikey likes it.
Yeah. No.
We tie him down and force feed him.
I've seen him eating it for 3 years.
If there's Canadian bacon or ham, yes.
Okay.
I don't like... See, I pick the ham off.
I'm not, I mean, I'm not a pork fan.
Me either.
Yeah. I'm all about it, but it's not, when I think of pizza, like classic pizza, absolutely not. No.
Well, it's definitely not classic pizza. That's why it's so controversial.
Yes.
It's everything that pizza hates.
But you know what? I think, you know what? We're evolving as a people, and I think it's beautiful.
Oh, okay. So let's vote.
I'm saying pineapple pizza, not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Woo!
This
never happens.
I'm going to guess. Let's guess our percentages of this vote from all of our firsties. Oh, what do you think it's going to be?
We're going to be met with
anger.
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 Which the hot dog, I think all of it. I think
that's going to be a 20% in favor of pineapple on pizza.
Don't leave us. This is just our, this is, just, don't.
We don't have to have pineapple on pizza on our live show that Billy's going to throw his hat out into. It's okay.
Yeah.
We'll have some pepperoni.
Yeah. Or cheese.
Or just cheese is easy.
Or just hot dogs. Whatever.
A sandwich shop.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're done with that.
We're done with that. Now we're going to go into some true crime rewind.
I say that.
Oops. I stole your thunder.
Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the real world, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
Want to connect with a family member who doesn't speak your language? Then check out the language learning program Rosetta Stone on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone is designed to immerse you in the language you're learning through an intuitive process. Plus, the True Accent feature even gives you feedback on your pronunciation. And with a lifetime membership, you have access to all 25 offered languages. Get started today. Visit rosettastone.com/pod50 to get 50% off your lifetime membership now. That's rosettastone.com/pod50 for 50% off.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
True crime. Yeah, it's rewind time.
Welcome, everyone, to True Crime Rewind. And I want to talk about pandemic crimes.
Ooh.
Yes. Now, you know, crime actually dropped during our pandemic, except for homicides and shootings.
No big deal. So the important ones
and domestic
steady.
Violence. Yeah.
Los Angeles reported a 40% increase in homicides.
That's holy terrible. Shit.
Oakland, 36%. San Francisco, 17%. It was not good. Okay. But that's not the crimes I want to talk about. I want to talk about crime from the 1918 pandemic.
Oh, okay.
And doing a search for this, I found this 23-year-old woman of, quote, marvelous gowns and haughty men. Hmm. And this is coming from Mental Floss, by the way. She was arrested at Chicago's LaSalle Hotel after a giant crime spree. Now, this woman, she was known as Julia Lyons or Marie Walker or Ruth Hicks, a bunch of different things. Now, they called her a rose-lipped, pearly-toothed Prouse gouger.
What?
All right, that means pink lips, white teeth.
Uh-huh. Yeah, what was the last thing you said?
Price gouger.
Oh, now, price. You said because, Prouse. I was like, what's a price gouger?
You didn't say price gouger.
Okay,
really.
All right. So all of these hospitals, because they needed a ton of people to work with the patients uh-huh. in 1918, so they weren't really doing background checks. She applies, and
they probably
they're
didn't
just
even
like,
have be like a doctor. They're just like,
and they're just like, okay, yes. Now this is what she would do. She would get after getting a prescription filled. She'd charge her patient much more than the actual cost. So somebody got a dose of oxygen. And it was supposed to cost $5. She charged $63, which was the same as charging $1,000 versus $85.
Oh my God!
Now they called her Flu Julia, which is what the Chicago Floozy? Tribune called her. So,
oh, like or Influenza Julia?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Flu oh, wow. Julia?
Yeah. I thought it was like Floozy Julia,
probably also.
Yeah.
Now it wasn't just that as well, because people knew her as a nurse around town, and there was a 9-year-old boy named Eddie Rogan, and said, "My brother George is out of his head with an illness." And then this is what she said. "Oh, let him rave. He's used to raving." And then George died.
Okay.
Jeez.
So this is what she would do. And she couldn't evade capture forever. Eventually they got her and they linked her to Eva Jacobs, who was, I love these quotes. She was, quote, "another girl of the shady world." And they wiretapped the home of Suicide Bess Davis. Who are these women?
Davis.
And these
wow.
amazing, ridiculous.
Wait, yeah. I love "another girl of the shady world."
Yes.
That's like Alexis
That's
and I
guys.
Lurking
yes.
around in
that
the
is
underworld.
Us. And it makes the tank seem like the worst nickname. Like,
these are so poetic.
Suicide Davis? Like, what?
Yeah, these are great.
All right, so they were eavesdropping and they discovered that Lyons was going to marry a restaurant owner named Charlie, and they trailed Charlie, and then Charlie got to her, and then here, Lyons said, "The wedding's all bust up, you got me." And then they asked Charlie, and Charlie was just like, "How long have you known this woman you were going to marry?" And he's like, 10 days.
Of course.
That's all I knew her. That's all you need. That's what used to be.
Now courtships are years deep, yeah, but yes. then 10 days.
I feel like 10 days was probably normal back in the day, especially during the flu. Everybody was just dying.
Yes. We could yep. be dead tomorrow. Let's get married
Let's
right
get
now,
married
my
right
friend.
Now. Yeah. So eventually she was put on trial. 50 victims testified against her. She was just a really, really bad person. She escaped a bunch of times.
Bad person.
And she eventually tried to plead insanity. She got 10 years in prison, and nobody knows what happened to her after that. So that is the otherwise Slick Julia Lyons, or Flu Julia, whatever you want to call her, one of the many con people of the 1918 flu pandemic.
Wow. It takes a lot for somebody to con your way through a flu
before there was technology.
Yeah.
Like, how are... Like, in-person cons are so hard.
So hard.
You have to be a true sociopath.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously she was.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, though, when you know that nobody can really look you up, it's mm-hmm. it's really interesting.
Like, you were like ghosts.
Yeah.
You just disappear.
Yeah, we're living in a time that is so different from, like, in history, where people could do that. People would...
Start a new life so easily.
Start a new life. Pretend they were somebody else. Pretend they were somebody famous.
Yeah.
All the time, and nobody could do anything about
it. There was no Google. There was no, like, national news coverage.
No, there was the encyclopedia.
Oh, barely. How often were they updating that, really?
Which was really...
Did the encyclopedia even have, like, people in it? All I remember is looking up rainforests in the encyclopedia.
Okay, it would have rainforest. That was a big...
Species. You know, certain species.
That's what I'm saying. Species and...
But they would have people.
Fauna,
Abraham,
flora,
Lincoln.
Yes.
Kingdom, phylus, genus.
They had history and encyclopedias?
Sure, yes. And people, yes, absolutely. But... And then they would actually sell...
Tell us what they had back then.
Okay, so this is what they had back then.
Tell us how you'd look up facts.
Sorry, I'm like thinking about how fucking expensive it would be to buy like a round of encyclopedias. Because you remember how big those were. They'd take up a whole shelf.
Let me tell you something.
One was like hundreds of dollars.
And then imagine some like new news happening and then you have to buy another whole collection.
Not to be conspiracy theorists, but who was overseeing what was going in there? They were literally writing history. They were writing, determining truth.
Well, you think about United States history is not what history was.
Everyone question everything.
My father, when he ran away from home at 15, he came out right here to Hollywood. He sold encyclopedias door to door for 2 weeks. He sold one set. And the encyclopedias were free, but you would be on the hook to buy the yearly update. And the yearly update was like a yearbook that would be sent to you every year. That was basically the internet back then.
Oh, so it only gives you updates, but then you still have all the old outdated
I mean, listen, ancient Rome, how much is going to be new there?
I don't know. Probably a lot. Sounds like a
disaster. Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's the way it used to be.
Well, I feel enriched. Thank you for bequeathing your wisdom of the 1918s.
Yes, I'm going to duff my hat right now.
Thank you. Well.
Yes. So... You know what we're going to do next?
What are we going
to
do?
We're going to listen to the worst things that you people have done.
All the worst, and we're the worst also. Yes. So we're the right people to dish.
You are the worst firsties, and we love you for it.
Worsty firsties.
Worsty firsties.
You are a horrible person.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Hi, Duck. Alexis and Billy and sometimes Jerry. I really hope I'm calling the right number because if not, that's going to be really awkward. But anyway, I was listening to your podcast today, Killing Time, and you mentioned Nickelback. And I thought it was funny because I live in Vancouver and I'm going to tell you about a time that he came into my work. And I wouldn't say this is the absolute worst thing I've ever done because I've kind of done some shitty things in my life, but, you know, I'll share with those on other voicemails. But this one's pretty funny, and it's relevant to your story. So, anyway, I worked at the time in a restaurant, a pretty famous Canadian restaurant, and Chad Kroeger of Nickelback came in one night with his friends, and you know that song where he says, "I'll have a quesadilla," like in his stupid voice. Well, he orders a quesadilla. It was funny anyway. But I didn't serve him that night, and he tipped the server $200, and the bill was only $100. So obviously the next time he came in, like, I wanted to serve him. So he came in again, and I, lucky enough, got to serve him. And he was with this guy who was, like, probably, like, 5'2", and he was such a douchebag, and it was just a typical, like, you know, I don't want to say groupie, but like entourage kind of guy, like a yes man that's in his crew, like clearly sucking up to the lead singer of Nickelback. And this guy was just so rude to me, so rude to everybody, like kind of was acting like, "Do you know who we are?" And Chad was not acting like that at all. He was a little high maintenance, though. So anyway, I was like, whatever, I'm going to get a fat tip after this. So I was putting up with it. And then the bill comes, and the fucking short guy, I really hope I'm allowed to swear, oops, the short guy, he says, "Oh, no, Chad, I'll take care of the bill." And I was so pissed, and he tipped me $5, and the bill was, like, $250, so, like, he tipped me 2%. I was so angry. But anyway, we had this little tradition that we used to do when I worked there, and people could, like, sign up for our, like, raffle to win the beer fridge or whatever it was that time. Sometimes it's like the red hockey light. And so basically, anytime we had a shitty customer, we would take their raffle ticket with their email name and phone number. And we, like me and my other coworker, would take that information and we would sign them up for all sorts of like annoying spam emails and like auctions. And it was just a fun time.
Okay. Listener who had their close encounter with the Chad Kroger kind. I sense your disappointment when the little obnoxious coattail clinger was like, I'll cover it, bro. Like, I so got you. Cause you know, Chad probably picks up all the like $10,000 tabs. So look at this cheap $200 one, tip $5. Spamming them with emails is an accurate rebellion.
I mean, it's not even a bad thing to do. I'm going to go back to the fact that it blows my mind. And anytime I'm speechless, anytime that anybody tips less than 20%.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I mean, that should be a baseline. Anybody that's listening, if you're tipping less than 20%, like, you've got to change your shit and tip appropriately.
I'm just warning you, you paying on a credit card, they can post your shit on Twitter. Do you want people to know that you're a cheap dick bag?
There's no worse thing that you can do.
No.
Ever.
Well, especially on the heels of a year with restaurants closed.
Killing people.
Well, other than that, tipping
badly.
We're
talking manners. We're talking basic manners.
And also, it's worse to tip the 5% or 2% or whatever he did than to not tip at all. That's a fuck you directly to your server.
Like, if your server messed up and they're expecting no tip because they made a huge mistake, whatever.
But even so, it's hard to be a fucking
server. I've literally
server.
Never not tipped. That Ever. Even in the worst experience of my life, no. I still tip 20%. Because it's like, when they're there.
I found a literal hairball in my avocado toast one time. Still 20%. Baseline.
We found a hair in our sushi today.
Today.
And we're still going to leave a 5-star review, but I'm also a pushover and a people pleaser. So 5-star. Don't follow me.
Okay. So back to the signing Chad Kroger's little dinky friend up for all these giveaways.
Oh, we support it.
Now, Alexis and I have done this before.
Even worse, though. The Church of Scientology.
The Church of Scientology. I went on a really shitty bad date. I'm actually writing about this whole story, and we're writing another book for Lady Gang, and I'm writing about this entire story, the saga with this piece of shit that I had dated. But the way that I got back at him was to sign him up for every email blast, every phone texting opportunity that you can get from the Church of Scientology.
Yes.
Because they don't forget. They don't forget 10 years later. You're decades in and they're still at your door.
No, they literally have people, that's their full-time job, is to like contact people who've written their name down one place one time.
You were thinking about it once.
Mm-hmm. I did that to an ex. Sorry. I like you as a person. I feel bad about this. Not really.
No.
You did worse. But I still think it's funny. I'd do it again.
10 out of 10 would recommend.
10 felt good at the time.
What do you think about this whole saga?
You know what? Listen, it's so easy to unsubscribe to things. And I know that particularly with the Church of Scientology, they are incredibly persistent.
Tenacious.
But it's something that, you know what? I get it.
You do?
Yeah, I get it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, wanted to mention, too, this Chad Kroger episode is a response to our Killing Time that we did a few weeks ago about music. And we talked about Nickelback, like, it's dad rock. Mm-hmm. And we were saying they're laughing all the way to the bank. And but it's listen, why Chad Kroger is tipping $200 on a $100 check.
No, but listen, also, he seems like a decent person.
Seems great.
Because he doesn't have to tip 200% on his on his check, but he did.
Because he has it.
And because he's like a decent guy. I mean, you hear all the time all of these famous people that go out to eat and tip so shitty.
I don't get it.
I don't get it. But
like, we're not fucking baller yacht rich and we still tip 20%.
As any human should.
If not, stay home and eat on your barbecue or your microwave or your hot plate, whatever you got.
Whatever you got. Make those fucking hot dogs.
Yes. Meat sleeves for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Not sandwiches. Oh,
God. All right. Well, I think, are we just doing one or are we doing two?
I don't know. Want to do another?
Let's do another one.
Feeling feisty?
Yes. All right.
Hi, Jack, Billy, and Lex Vicious. So the worst thing I've ever done, my dad had a classic car that he was absolutely obsessed with. He had had it since before I was even born. It was passed down to him from my grandmother.
all growing up, we were, like, not allowed to touch the car. Like, don't breathe on the car. Don't be anywhere near the car. So years later, he was storing the car in my garage. And this is when I was in college. And it was like a sorority house, kind of. Like, not really, but it was. We thought it was a sorority house. We pretended it was a sorority house. There was just, like, 8 women living in this house. So I had been kind of edging on getting ready to hook up with this guy for, like, weeks. And we were all out in the garage having a little get-together away from the car. Everybody left, and he and I were left by ourselves. And it was kind of one of those moments where we kind of locked eyes and realized that it was on. So it ended up being on my dad's prized possession classic car. So not only did I get it on top of the hood of the car that I was told my entire life not to touch, we set the alarm off. And of course, I can't let my dad know how we set the alarm off. So said guy, absolutely stark naked, figured out how to disable the alarm, but in doing so, he broke it. So the next day, it happened to be a weekend, my dad came over to work on the car and was horrified to find that his alarm wasn't working and asked me, has anybody been in the garage? And I lied. I said, no, my gosh, I'm sorry. Maybe the battery. I don't know. Cars. Who really knows? But who really knows is me. So, yeah, that's the worst thing I've ever done. And I still think about it sometimes. And every single time I think, damn, that was worth it. No regrets.
Oh, boy.
Thank you for using Lex Vicious, because it is so much sexier than the tank, let me tell you.
I love that she just came up with that from nowhere, basically.
No, I said it last week.
Oh, you did?
I said it like 3 weeks ago, and I was like, something Sid Vicious. I said that, yeah. I wanted to be Lex Vicious.
Oh.
So wow, I love right you for this, you anonymous angel. But holy shit. Also, I love the rebellion against your father. You go, girl.
Yes, it's very much Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
I was literally just thinking of Ferris Bueller's
with
Day Off.
Cameron. Yes. And he won't let him touch the car.
Yep.
And she's just like, oh, you don't want me to touch the car? It's literally the worst thing that a daughter could do.
Oh, my God.
Is not only touch the car, but have sex with a guy on top of the car.
I mean, she's lucky. I was waiting for the story to go into, like, they dented the hood or some shit. Or they left, like, fingerprints all over the front dashboard or something like that.
I gotta say, your dad is bold for leaving his car at a sorority house.
At the end of the day, how much did he really like the car that he left it in a sorority house?
You know what could have happened? Somebody could have had sex on that car with their period and left blood everywhere, like on the washing machine.
All right. Well, there's our new merch.
Well, just consider yourself a good daughter then, because that didn't happen.
What are you expecting at that point? Like, as somebody that probably could have way more easily stolen the car.
I'm just saying, you're the best daughter in the world, because you also comfort his sweet, sweet mind by just saying this poor, innocent, broken alarm. You didn't say, I blasphemized your car, your generational heirloom.
Exactly.
With my devious
He's got a 68 Mustang that he loves, and it's like, she would have ruined it, and ruined probably all cars for him forever.
Honestly, yeah. I think you did. You're everyone's hero.
You did right. You did right.
You're everyone's hero.
You did the Lord's work.
I love that so much.
And if you're listening, sir, it's going to be okay.
Just close your eyes.
He's not listening.
Just ride a bicycle to work from now on. You don't need cars.
That's a unicycle.
A weekender car, by the way.
Okay, well, I think it's time, Alexis.
Oh, do you mean time for the Costanza stanza?
The Costanza stanza. Let's just, like...
All right, so today's Costanza stanza is called George's Favorite Things. And it might be in a tune you recognize.
Oh.
Ladies in dresses and salt on my pretzels, Festivus angels and women with freckles, calling the jerk store, hanging up when it rings. These are a few of my favorite things. When I'm not right, when failure stings, when I'm feeling sad, I recount some of George's favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Wow.
You're welcome.
How do you come up with this shit? Right.
It's hard. But also, effortless.
Yeah. Every time you blow me the fuck away.
Thank you.
All right. Goodbye.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.